through 14th in New York City. You should totally come. I'm going to be there. A lot of people here are actually going to be presenting sessions at Do It With Drupal, so recommend you guys check it out. You may have seen me around the web. Drupalize.me is an all-you-can-eat buffet of videos. I not only develop the site, you know, work on new features, I'm also the smiling face in some of these video tutorials teaching you all about Drupal. There are 150 hours of videos, and every week we are releasing new ones. So if you've got questions, we've got answers for you. So how many people here teach their clients how to use the sites that you build for them? A lot of people. How many people teach others to become new Drupalers and developers? So I've heard that some of the most amazingly designed and developed websites can fail as soon as you give the keys to your client, which is unfortunate because no matter how great your product is, if your client does not know how to use it, they're never going to let that website evolve into what it should become. So training is in a very important step of the website building process. Now, I've been teaching Drupal for a while now. Before that, I was training clients on how to use their Easy Publish websites and their WordPress sites. Before that, I was teaching my mom how to download pictures off of her camera. So people have always told me that, you know, gosh, you're so patient, Michelle. You're so good, you know, walking me through each of the steps. But really, I just don't assume that they already know something, and I speak very articulately about the details. So the first lesson that I want to share with you is use less pronouns. Nope, this is not a grammar lesson. Just be very explicit. How is anyone supposed to know what you're really talking about if you actually don't say it? If you went to your client and say, oh yeah, just go to the page, scroll down, click on that thing to open it, and hit the little checkbox, and you're all set. They're going to be like, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. So try something more like edit the node. Scroll down to the publishing options field set. Click the checkbox to deselect published. That's way better. But how do I edit a node? What is a node? I attended a session at DrupalCon Copenhagen presented by Diana Dupuy of 4Kitchens, and she said some things that really resonated with me. This was almost 2 years ago, and I still talk about it today. A content manager does not want to know how to edit a node. They don't even know what a node is, and nor should they. They want to know how to fix a typo on their about page. As people who do Drupal, we forget what it's like before phrases like hook, form, alter, theme functions, and node just rolled off our tongues in normal conversations. So to really communicate with your students, use normal words and skip the Drupal jargon. Yes, there are times when you have to use Drupal-specific words. I was teaching a theming workshop, and we had successfully explained how to create page.tpl.php, node.tpl.php, and even node --article.tpl.php. And those are clearly a mouthful to say, and so we started shortening them. We alternated between page.tpl, node.tpl, page.template, node.template, and the students very easily followed that transition of terminology. But then it was time to introduce a new file, template.php. So to the new themer, node.tpl, page.tpl, node.template, page.template, and node.tpl.php and page.tpl.php sounds strikingly exact to template.php. And I could watch their faces go from this glimmer of excitement and understanding to a blank stare. So I introduced tipplefips, downright goofy word. I mean, I even had my coworker kind of like jabbing me, saying, why are you using that? Tipplefips, it's so unprofessional sounding. It's not the right word. But visually, tipplefip, tpl.php, those are HTML files. And then this new file, template.php, was something clearly different. So as we continued teaching, I kept saying, yep, the tipple fip. You guys remember that one? And then I could introduce a block tipple fip for them. Again, I explained nobody actually uses that. Don't ever go talk to another Drupaler and say something about a tipple fip because they'll think you're crazy. But that whole exercise of bringing up something unique, visually, they now had a distinction in their head when I was talking about these different files. So the lesson is you have to use Drupal jargon sometimes, but be creative. There's got to be a different way to present the material for non-Drupalers to understand. Everyone has something to teach. You don't have to work for the largest Drupal shop to have something important to share. Your insights from working with Drupal for 5 days are just as valuable as insights from someone who's been working with Drupal for 5 years. I attended a session here at Drupal Camp Montreal a couple years ago, and it was one of my most favorite sessions. The guy got up there and basically told us everything he did wrong in the last year. He was working on setting up his navigation, and it was this big hierarchical thing. It was massive amounts of links, and he was trying to present it in a good way. And he, with screenshots, very clearly detailed, went through and said, and I did this, and it was so great. And then he showed the screenshot, and clearly unusable. And he's like, well, and then I went and did this. And that discussion was just so powerful because someone coming into the class who hadn't actually tackled that problem yet just got to check things off their list of don't go down that path, don't go down that path, and definitely don't go down that path. So the process of learning the right way of doing something is potentially more important than just learning the right way. There's a lot to Drupal. But before you can specialize, you have to learn the basics. Most people start with configuring the site, placing blocks. Then you move into creating unique content types and views. Maybe you write a module or a custom theme. And with each of these tasks that you master, you're one step ahead of somebody else. At a previous job, I was not very confident with my Drupal abilities. And even though I was contributing to the site's architecture, I created nearly every single view on the site. I even wrote all the custom update scripts for each of our feature sprints. I still regarded myself as a noob. And it took one of my coworkers dragging me to my first local user group meeting where I realized, gosh, I do know stuff. I was answering questions for people. It was the most exciting revelation ever. And you guys know stuff too. Even if you're still new with Drupal, don't underestimate how much you know and how valuable that information is. I'm empowering you to share that. Drupal does have a steep learning curve. That's no secret. But your students don't need to know everything that Drupal can do. They don't need to know everything the website you just built can do. They only need to know about the current task that they are facing. So don't overwhelm them with a cornucopia of options. Just introduce the concepts one at a time. Developers climb mountains. We talk about nodes. We discuss how do we place blocks. Do we use the administrative interface or do we use context? We write new modules. We create new content types with node references that have a back reference to sync it all up. We create workflows for our users. We create new roles with a cornucopia of permissions and new taxonomies that make the site hierarchical. We are developers. The user's learning curve is only steep if you bring them up every mountain. Users log in. They edit the about page. They might even create a new blog post. They attach files to press releases. They don't need to know about all the inner workings of their site or every Drupal site out there. They just need to know that it works and how they are going to accomplish their tasks. I created a site for Stonyfield Farm Yogurt, and girl I was working with, it's like, I need to change the header image on this page. And so I showed her how to edit the node and upload a new image. I did not tell her that in the back end, because she hadn't uploaded an image yet, that every single taxonomy that that page was tagged with had a header image. And it actually looked up the tree for the header image to decide what got displayed there. She didn't need to know any of that. She just wanted to know how to change it on that page. And so I told her, don't teach Drupal. Teach the users to do only what they need to do with the tool that you built for them. Find out what tasks your users expect to accomplish. If the user is a member of the HR department and their job is to upload new job descriptions, show them how to create that new node. And when that position's filled, show them how to unpublish it. Just teach them that. It's important to get to know your audience. Ask them, what do you do on the site? Ask them, have you ever used Drupal before? Have you used any web application or content management system before? Figure out where they're starting from. Empathize. Empathy is the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, the thoughts, and the experiences of another. In other words, try to walk in the user's shoes. With that information, you can tailor your teaching experience to them. Tell the student what you are about to do. We are going to fix a typo on the About Us page. Be specific. Use less pronouns. Don't use Drupal jargon. Show the student how to do it, speaking explicitly about every single step you're about to do. And then let them do it. There are so many learning styles out there, but everybody learns by doing. Pay attention to where they falter. Is there a way to make the path more clear? Go at their pace. Add more challenge if it's beneficial. Stop and rest if it's necessary. It's so important to stay positive. The energy that you project has a huge effect on the people that you're teaching. When topics are challenging, be encouraging. When you see the light bulbs start going off in their head, get excited with them. I was teaching a workshop on site building, and we came to the section on views, and I love views. I started talking about views at the first conferences I ever did, and we went through, and I was talking with my hands, and I was kind of bouncing around up there, explaining and pointing to the screen, and at the end of the day, a guy came up to me and commented on how I danced through the entire views section, and he's like, it was great, you know, I really, really enjoyed it. And so if you think something is cool, so will your users. Your energy will come out, and they'll get really excited as well. Prepare just enough documentation. Don't write the entire script. Prepare just enough ahead of time, and then encourage the users to take notes. They're going to fill in the holes, and they're going to expand on it. And this will help them remember how to do it once they take the notes. And at the very least, they're going to know where to look it up. Create a space for organic documentation where the entire team can add and edit new snippets that are specific to their site. It will grow into and focus on areas that they actually find challenging and areas that they find very important. For Stonyfield, I created the Webmaster module, and it was kind of like a book format that I filled out high-level items of things they're going to want to do. How to create a page, how to edit that page with little snippets of documentation. And then I continued with just the titles of other things that were specific to their site and encouraged them to go to this area where their entire team of content editors could read the documentation. And by the end, there was, I don't know how many nodes in here, but the hierarchy was so long you had to scroll to see all the pages because they were really taking advantage of that. Now, within their website, they actually had everything they needed to know about managing it. And when the next person came in to help manage the website, all the documentation was there for them, focusing on what they thought was important. Not what I thought was important, but what was specific to their site. So you never stop asking questions. You never stop needing to learn more. Your students are the same way. Give them the tools to continue down their paths. Go ahead, sit down with them while they create their Drupal.org account. Show them where the issue queues are and how to search. Even show them how to post questions in those forums. Log in to GDO and help them find their local user group so they can attend meetings and learn more and expand their knowledge. When your classroom setting ends, the learning does not. Give them the resources to continue. I've heard from so many people that they just can't find documentation. How do we do this? The documentation's just not there. Well, it's time for all of us to start writing it. I'm sure there's been times where you've had a problem and you searched endlessly, you couldn't find it, so you just banged your head against the wall for like 5 hours, and then eureka, you solved the problem. Take that experience and create docs for it so everyone else can learn from that. Share your answers. You know, everyone has the power to make all these resources better. Many of you have said that you have taught Drupal. Whether you're training a client to use the site that you just created for them, or if you're teaching new developers to do what you do, we all have experienced amazing light bulb moments and also some that we'd rather not repeat again. And so actually, I want to know from you, what has worked in your teaching style? What has not worked? So rather than just normal questions where you guys quiz me, I'm actually asking you and want you guys to participate right now. Raise your hands. Go ahead. Excellent. So what was just said is when you're teaching a class, record it. It's impossible to take notes on absolutely everything, and so they can go back and review it and hear those anecdotes that they didn't get to jot down. Excellent suggestion. So video recordings. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, so another thing that works is very detailed step-by-step directions, like a bulleted list where you actually explicitly say, click this button here, and maybe say what part of the page it's on. The worst thing is when there's a configuration save button that's top right and the bottom. They're like, I don't know which one to do. Are they the same? So details like that are very, very helpful. Excellent. Omar? I completely agree with that. Stonyfield will now never, ever lose their documentation. It's not on the F drive somewhere that you don't have access to when you're at home or something like that. Having it built into the website, and we all know how to do, you know, permissions and roles. We know how to give only the right people access to that. And they found it so helpful. And now every content editor, no matter what area of the site they had access to, whether it was the HR part of the site or the PR part of the site or whatever, everyone had access to that documentation. I saw another hand right in the center. Yep. That's a novel idea. Actually include it in your module. Now, there are some modules out there that really do utilize the advanced help feature. So actually turn that on your site. That's a great idea. And then you can continue adding to that. When you write your own custom modules, make sure you add your own help. Okay. add to both of those. The first one was is if you have a class of, say, 10 people, and some people's only job is to fix typos on the About page, and then you've got someone else who's maybe in the IT department that should know a little bit about the website, and they pick it up really fast because they do computer things, and teach them more. One of the things I said is, you know, sometimes you need to stop and rest when people are getting a little overwhelmed, but other times you need to throw challenges out there and pick out the people in your class that are the overachievers. Teach them more, because then they can help. When the classroom time's over, those overachievers can then help the other students go through. And then the other comment you made is worrying so much about your agenda. When you're in a classroom with, like, say, 15 people and there's, you know, two instructors up there, it is important to allow the class to kind of drive itself in the direction that it needs to go. Yes, there are some things you must cover. But when they have questions, those are those burning things that they potentially will be facing on a daily basis. And taking that 15-minute tangent might be an extremely important thing. Omar? I think if you're training your client and there are 20 people who will be administering this website on some level, breaking it up into tasks or even breaking it up into the roles that you've created for them. So if some people are only have permission to edit a certain section, that's the morning. We're only editing this section and showing them all the things that they can do. On day three, you have the people that potentially have, you know, a super admin type role, and you are going into views and explaining how you could change sort orders and things like that. And that way, you know, other people who have worked with content management systems before maybe don't need to sit in on day one where you're showing them how to use the WYSIWYG editor and what a bold tag is and how to create tables. And people can attend the sections that they need. Excellent idea. I agree. One of the biggest challenges that I've encountered is a classroom where people have varying levels of experience going in and also at the same time varying permission levels that they will encounter on the website. And if it's one united class, it is extremely challenging to make sure that you don't only hold the hand of, like, the lowest user or only discuss the cool stuff that this one person's talking about that will be changing all the views. That is the biggest challenge I've encountered. In the back? Does anyone have some feedback or ideas? Well, how many people are going to be in the whole group?
Around 12 people.
I think breaking it up into small chunks that are focused for the certain people is wonderful. But on day one, you kind of need to bring everyone to the same level, basic tasks that everyone might encounter, potentially the about page. Maybe everyone has access to the page content type. Show everyone how to do that, and then go into the specifics. If you need to teach people how to use like editors and things like that, that can be something that's global. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting thing for usability, because let's say that you had a website that were blog posts that normal users could create an account, like in a social networking website, and they're allowed to do blog posts. Anytime something is public-facing, a node edit form, I write so much help text. I change the titles, just like you said. Don't say body. Say, what are you doing today? You know, whatever that status update headline is. But it's very rare when developing a site, do you think to do that on the page content type? So I think that's an excellent suggestion. This actually has nothing to do with training whatsoever. This is in the development phase, making sure that your training is successful later on, is making those changes. So adding help text that works, changing the labels on the fields that people are filling out. I think that's wonderful. Oh, I think Jacob's going to start talking. Sure. The experience that I have with this was with actually Easy Publish. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that CMS. And I wrote out like 30 pages of essentially like Easy Publish core documentation. And I didn't use the word node. You use page. People know what a page is. You don't actually need to tell them that Drupal only has index.php, because that would just totally confuse everybody. Use the words that you would be explaining in your regular trainings, but take screenshots of, this is how you find pages, this is how you edit pages and things like that. And then there's addendums to each of those that are site specific. If you've created, you know, a site that focuses, that's very image focused, you would, you know, add more information about those sections. But definitely I would refrain from using the jargon. You need to tell them, oh, this is a word that Drupal uses. Explain that it exists, because it's going to slip out of your mouth at some point, or they're going to hear it from someone else. But I would use, you know, simpler, normal words. Well, if you think about it, how many times have you downloaded Drupal Core and said, yep, I'm done? Content types are inherent. I would actually go ahead and say every site uses views. Okay, I know that there's some that don't. But most people don't get in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the things that you are going to encounter on every site, there's a menu system on every site. There's taxonomy on every site. You don't need to necessarily explain, you know, hierarchical taxonomy, just flat level tags, perhaps, in your generic documentation, but it absolutely has to be customized, because if you are only saying, here's how you edit a page, but some users really do need the, here's how you edit your About Us page, and then they can take that and actually maybe extrapolate it. Well, if I have an About Us page, I bet I could edit the About Team page the same way, and they can take that step. If you just say page, like page, which page? There's like 12 million pages on this site, and they won't realize that they're kind of all the same. They all have an edit button. They all have a node ID. They don't know any of that. I saw something back over here. Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. actually, I think that's a fabulous idea. So if you guys didn't hear that, is after you've done your teaching session, make them fill out a form and tell you how you did. And I would actually go ahead and say, which part did you like best? Which part did you not like? How did you feel about this specific section? Or say, did we deliver to your expectations? Did you learn what you were promised or thought you were going to learn? That's a great idea. We actually, in one of our trainings, we kind of gave an overview of like what is Drupal, a little bit of how Drupal works, the history of Drupal, that picture of Dries in his dorm room, and feedback was, what's your least favorite part? And that was it. It's like, I don't care how Drupal started. And that goes back to the same thing. And like for me, I'm like, I care. Well, that's really cool, you know. Like, that there was 10 people, you know, at the first DrupalCon, and now there's 4,000. Like, that's something that as Drupalers we really care about. No, they just wanted to edit their About Us page. So that was an hour wasted in that training, but that was excellent feedback. I doubt we will be doing that again, or if we do, we'll shrink that down to the 5-minute truncated version. So excellent ideas. Get feedback and then tailor your next ones. Don't just read it. Like, actually make changes based on that. Yes? Such a good question. So I'll repeat that. So someone's looking at a page. Oh, excuse me. Someone is looking at their page, and all you can really edit is that body part. Yet in the right column, there's things going on in the left column and the footer, and they want to edit all of that. And they're like, I can't get there. I don't have power to edit views, first of all. Even if I could find the link, I don't have the permissions. So the question is, how do you handle that? I think that is actually something the person on the client side that's kind of managing the site, they're the ones that have told you what the roles are and what the permissions are to some degree. They're the one that said, yep, these people are only allowed to edit the body content. If they're allowed to edit more things, there should be a little contextual link that will take them in there. So the way I would handle that is, you know, explain that those are permanent parts of the site. Those are things that don't get changed, but potentially once a year. Those aren't things that you just edit on demand. And actually, on that same level, when I was building the site for Stonyfield, I put 99% of the blocks in place using context. So they were all in code, and there's no way they're ever going to find that context page to ever change or move those blocks. The other 1% was the normal admin blog page, where they could go in and say, "Ooh, we've got this little special thing that we want to show off. Our, you know, our company just won an award, and we want to put an image in the sidebar." No problem. They went to the blog administrative page and did that there. So explaining the difference between permanent elements that require, you know, a true developer to go in. Another thing that I, with the doing the blocks in context where, you know, they can't get changed, and if someone gets in there and does change them, no problem, it's in code, you can always revert it, versus the block administration page. You can form alter and not show any of the disabled blocks, so all they're ever really going to see are their 3 blocks that they made, and that's all they ever have access to. So I think that's an important thing. I talked about users take paths, developers climb mountains. Well, if you can limit what they can see as potential options for things that they can change, they're going to be a lot less overwhelmed, too. If you go to the block administration page, I mean, my God, how long is that? Do you remember the first time you looked at that? I worked on a site in D5 where if more than 2 people were actually editing on that page, it would rearrange everything, like on its own. We have no idea why. And so, like, you know, time to go in and be like, okay, I'm in the page. Everyone else get out of there. It was just horrid. So that's a place that you don't want to have too much information. So I like the distinction between permanent elements and editable, and just letting them know. Anyone else have any things that did not work at all? Those are the best stories. Yes. I actually have a great story about that. We were doing a demo, and we actually had the IT department get laptops for all of the students, put a fresh local host install, and a couple other modules, and pre-configured them. They just copied the database onto all of them. So we had like 30 laptops all set up with a local host for the people to go in and try to break things and everything like that and kind of learn Drupal core. And there was a bug in the, I think it was the IMCE module, that it couldn't save an image. It was just that release just happened to have one that we had grabbed. And so everyone's thinking, Drupal doesn't work. Drupal sucks. Why did we go with Drupal? And so that is something, like, it wasn't even like custom code that you weren't prepared to discuss, but what if in your demo, one of the modules that you have nothing to do with all of a sudden, you know, got updated and you didn't know that something wasn't working? That is the most challenging thing ever. And, like, you know, just kind of stand there for a moment and go, okay, what am I going to say? It wasn't my fault. I didn't build it. I don't know. I didn't know it was broken. Oh, my God. So I say take a deep breath. That's the first thing you do. And then explain to them the contributed community approach and how very shortly there will be a fix for it. And if we checked right now, I bet there was a patch that's about ready to be rolled. That's how I handle that. I actually have a great question for you guys. I just mentioned that we had 30 laptops sitting there ready to go with a local host setup. We used Acquia Damp download. That worked perfectly. The IT guy had no problems. We also had a couple modules. We had them put in and configure and set up that mimicked some of the stuff on their site. And that's how we started. We're like, great. We're going to teach them normal Drupal stuff. They cannot break a thing because it's on this laptop that's going to go away and get wiped anyway. So we were all very excited. And then we went into the next phase, and we were actually training a client that we didn't build the site for. Someone else built the site. So we're working. There's like three parties working together to get this working. And it was decided that for phase two, people were actually going to go in onto the site that had not launched yet, but it was the primary database, the one that they'd worked on. They backed it up first. And people were supposed to go in and edit and massage their content. They had done some migration, but there were some things that weren't quite right. Different, like, H2 tags needed to be moved around. So people went into their sections that they were in charge of and edited and massaged their content right there on what was going to be the live site eventually. So how do you guys handle training clients? Do you do a local host? Do you have them work on that primary database? Do you make a whole other snapshot that is not going live? Revisions and backups. So you do work on that primary database that will be eventually going live. I saw hands. In my example, the Drupal site had not launched. The other website was still up there. But that, the dev or the staging environment, that was the database that was about to go live. It was very interesting because they basically had the work of a bunch of interns going on, essentially, massaging all that content and making it look pretty. So that was very, very valuable. The challenge was that people were getting really excited about all the things that they could do, and they're putting little tables in and downloading images of their kids, and it was like, okay, and trying to explain, no, you're actually working right now. We already had that on our local host system, but definitely challenging. And in the back, you said something as well on the way you're doing it? Yeah. They can break it all they want. I actually like the idea of the local host, because they can really, really break it, and they're not going to be messing. If you're playing with blocks and everyone's on that same kind of playground area, you're getting blocks all over the place and things like that. And unfortunately, you can really break the layout of a site unknowingly. The problem with localhost is, what the heck does that mean? Localhost? What, I've got a web server here on my laptop? Is this a live site? I mean, people have a really hard time with that. And a lot of times, these are just content administrators. These aren't the people that will eventually go in and eventually learn how to build a view. Omar? And they can't break it. I was very cautious about having them go in and kind of edit and massage their content. Like I said, and they got so excited, and they're uploading pictures of their kids everywhere, and then we had to go through the exercise of saying, remember how we taught you revisions? We're going to use them now. This is a very important step. Go find those things and revert. And that was a great lesson, too. Oh, this is the best thing. So they're like, well, what if I revert to two revisions ago, but the thing that was in the revision I'm getting rid of, there was something important there. I'm just not ready to release it yet. We were asked that question. Does it go away? Does it get deleted? And I'm sitting up there, and I'm like, gosh, you know what? I've never actually reverted anything. I have no idea. And so my response was, I was playing dumb in a way, going, well, I don't know, guys. Let's go try that. When really I actually meant that. I'm like, what do you think's going to happen? And so we went through and we did it. I'm like, see? You guys were all worried. It didn't delete a thing. So that is my greatest tactic, is when people ask me a question that I have no idea what the answer is, I turn it back to them. I'm like, well, what do you think is going to happen? It hasn't yet. How has it backfired?
Well, they can be like, I have no idea what to tell you.
But see, okay, then that brings me back to that one slide, the guy jumping through the air with his laptop. You got to have energy, and you've got to have your audience interact. They have to interrupt you and kind of feel like the juju going on. And so if you're in a class where no one's excited, they're going to go, yeah, I don't know, dude. That's why you're here. But if you're in a class where people are excited, they're going to start firing out answers back and forth, and they're going to help drive the class, and the process of learning is just as important. Making those mistakes is just as important. So we've got like 30 seconds left. I'm going to take one more question, and I haven't seen anything from that area, and they're not raising their hands. Anyone else have one more comment or question? Yes. Mm-hmm. I love that module. That's an excellent module. So what was just said is the demonstration site module. It was actually originally written so that if you had a module or something that you wanted to make a site out so other people can go play with it and decide if they wanted to download it, you actually had, you know, a certain level of permissions. You can create content, delete stuff, move stuff around, and then every night at midnight on cron it would reset, and this would happen every single day. So that's why it was written. But it's kind of like backup and migrate, where you could take a snapshot and then revert to it. And you can turn off that whole cron thing, so you just do it on the manual level. So that's a great, great idea. I actually use that when I'm writing update scripts. So you write your update script, and you're like, okay, run, and everything blows up. You're like, ah, poop. And you go back, and you revert your site and start over again. So it's a wonderful module for quick rollbacks. Well, excellent, guys. Thank you so much for participating in this conversation.